necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We got a bunch of strong shows for you this week, and we're going to be starting out next week with some huge shows as well. We're going to have Sean Phillips on next week, Bill Phillips' brother. We're going to have Gary Taubes on next week. He's going to come on my show because he agrees with everything I talk about, the same way he disagrees with everything Dr. Oz talks about. And we're going to address his Dr. Oz interview as well as some other exciting things. So you're not going to want to miss that. We've got a bunch of really good shows for you the rest of the week. Starting with this one today, I've got my good friend, Dr. John Chrysler, on for the first hour. Second hour, we're going to have Vince Andrich talking about the seedy underbelly of bodybuilding, the drug culture, the recreational drug culture, and how it bleeds over into the performance drug culture. So we're going to talk about the second hour. But right now, I've got my good friend from All Things Male, Dr. John Chrysler. How you doing, John?
Good, Carl. Good to be the smartest audience in radio.
Hey, thank you. That is true. You know, I say this all the time, and I really mean it. There isn't a person in my audience that couldn't do my job. I have some of the smartest listeners in the world. They ask great questions. They feed me great information. They make me look good, actually. So you're right about that. And we're going to be talking today about something that comes up from time to time, and it's about testing. We hear a lot of information. People are telling us all the time, hey, you can't supplement willy-nilly. You have to be responsible. You have to get tests done. But then there's a lot of controversy in the testing environment. You have some people who swear that saliva testing is the only way to go. You have other people that say that the gold standard is blood testing. And then we have a new entry from David Zava at ZRT Labs, which is a less invasive form of blood testing that he calls blood spot testing. We're using a Wattman blotter. And then we also have other metabolite type testing like urine testing and hair testing and so on. And where does it end? What is a person to do? Who do we trust? What do we trust? Where do you know? What do you use, first of all Things Male, for a hormone analysis on your clients?
Well, first let me say that the ultimate goal of all this testing and in service of all this treatment is to make the patient happier and healthier. So if we achieve those aims, it doesn't really matter how we got there. What modalities we use for testing, what modalities we use for treatment, I want to say it off the bat, is that basically we're treating a living, breathing human being, not ink on a piece of paper, no matter where that piece of paper came from. So here at the Man Cave, we favor, of course, the standard serum testing. I don't know if you hear my grandfather clock going
on. Yeah,
in the
it's quite beautiful, actually. Yeah.
And the 24-hour urine tests as well. And we use Ryan Consulting Labs, as we've mentioned on here before. I think they're the best in the country out of Portland, Oregon.
So maybe we need to look at it this way instead. Let's look at the different hormones and which are appropriate. Because obviously, for cortisol, saliva is the go-to test, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a funny thing. You know that I'm not in favor of saliva testing.
Yes.
Pretty much people know that. And we've had some issues getting saliva testing done through LabCorp and Quest. They just are not supporting the test the way they should, even though they're available. I think you've talked to my buddies at Access Labs recently, if I remember right.
Right.
They're doing a pretty good job picking up on that. But with respect to cortisol testing, it doesn't really matter what the result is for a couple of reasons. First is that the testing results can be completely normal, and you can still suffer adrenal fatigue if you have the symptoms of adrenal fatigue and if a little bit of hydrocortisone resolves those symptoms for you. It's a therapeutic test. That means you have adrenal fatigue.
That's almost like a challenge approach, in other words. If you have these symptoms and you take the hydrocortisone and the symptoms go away, then it was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Kind of. Just to get off to segue there a little bit, challenges. Basically, you know, we use them like Dr. Shipp and I have talked a lot about the clomiphene challenge to test the intactness of the hypothalamus pituitary testicular axis. But challenge tests are not valid for growth hormone, even though endocrinologists are still considering them the gold standard, because a challenge test is assuming, it's making an assumption that the environment that you create with a challenge ever exists naturally in that person's life. If we give somebody a wallop of insulin, that would kill them, basically, if we weren't right there watching them. A person never gets that wallop of insulin in their life, you know, to increase the growth hormone reduction to test for it, or any other medication you're going to use in order to test for growth hormone output, because you're never normally in that state of being, so you're testing somebody in someplace where they never live, basically. But with respect to the testing for adrenal fatigue, what we're doing with our testing basically is looking for some numbers on a piece of paper that justify what we already know we want to do with the patient. If you come in and you have the symptoms of adrenal fatigue, and we can review those quickly if you want to, and a little bit of hydrocortisone resolves them, you have the disease. It does not matter if the numbers are high, if the numbers are medium, or if the numbers are low. In fact, while your adrenal system, actually the whole axis, I should say, is failing, and your output is dropping, you will have the symptoms of the disease, but you're passing through normal range on the way down. So it all has to come down to the clinical expertise of the physician. And we don't just turn patients away with normal labs if they have the symptoms and tell them they can't possibly feel that way. That's what conventional doctors do.
Okay. But bottom line, talking about testing in general, saliva testing is acceptable for cortisol, but not for hormones. I've learned this myself. I did a side-by-side serum test and saliva test, and the results were contradictory. The saliva test told me that I had super physiological levels of free testosterone, and the blood test said that I had normal levels of free testosterone. And I had to believe the blood test, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, how do you feel?
I didn't feel like I had. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. That's hard to say. How do I feel? I mean, I didn't have symptoms of super physiological levels of free testosterone at that point in my life. So.
Right. Yeah, the clinical symptoms basically will match the blood over the saliva. And that's a very common story. I've had a lot of patients who come to me and they bring these saliva testing. I say, you know what to do with it. I can use basically, you know, use them in the outhouse, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's about the only value they're going to have, as far as I'm concerned, with respect to sex hormones.
Okay, now, there is a baseline that is adjusted so that we have a starting point in blood. Isn't it creatinine? Is it creatinine
creatinine? Well, they use that in urine.
In urine, okay. What do they use? Yeah. Do they use something in blood?
Not sure.
Because I've heard that's the problem with saliva testing. The problem with saliva testing is that there is really no way to adjust for a baseline because there's too many variables. Like if the person is hydrated enough, because saliva is a natural filtrate of blood. But that is not indicative necessarily of what is in the blood, just because something is filtering out of it.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you call it a filtrate, but it goes beyond that. I mean, to my mind, saliva testing is fundamentally flawed. There are proponents who claim that it's an ultrafiltrate of blood. In other words, hormones are freely passing, the free hormones, not those bound to various carrier proteins.
Right.
And so, by the way, now you're excluding loosely bound hormones, such as albumin, that would be my understanding. There's no question in my mind that bioavailable is better than free. This is a current argument in medicine as well. The people who say that free is better than bioavailable levels are missing the point that the hormones separate, for instance, from albumin with respect to testosterone in the capillary beds. So they say that it's a free hormone ultrafiltrate from the blood. I've never seen a study that actually showed that. I mean, they've never shown, they make an assumption, but they've never actually proven that. And that could be proven in one day by radio tagging the hormones. And I haven't seen a study.
Maybe they don't want to know.
That could be. There are other people who claim that's intracellular hormonal activity. And there are some issues that we can get into in just a minute.
Well, and I doubt that that's true, because quite often, it's been my experience, and we have to take a break, so you may have to answer this when we come back, but it's my experience that the cells don't let go of what's inside of them until serum levels start to drop and the body goes, oh, we need more of it in the blood. And since the target gland isn't producing it, the body will start to evacuate the cells and send it into the bloodstream. Is that a misunderstanding on my part?
Well, a better way to say it might be the saliva gland is actually processing hormones. And I am not a 225-pound saliva gland.
I like that a lot. All right, look, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're going to be discussing a variety of different tests and what they are appropriate for and what they're not. We're talking today with Dr. John Chrysler. You can visit his website, allthingsmale.com. Just going to his website will raise your testosterone levels. Try it. See if it doesn't. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at APPNUT.com. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Orbit Nutrition is having a performance-enhancing supplement blowout. The PES, performance-enhancing supplement line, has been reduced to ridiculously stupid prices. Alpha T2, $19.99 a bottle. Erase, which lowers cortisol and estrogen levels, $22.99 a bottle. And performance-enhancing supplements product Shift, which is basically the Alpha T2 without the stimulants, $17.99 a bottle. These are ridiculous prices. These are products that burn fat. Alpha T2 and Shift both take advantage of the thyroid hormone, T2, which is found naturally in nature, and so it is eligible for an over-the-counter supplement, and it has a unique effect on brown fat. This is only for 5 days. Saturday at midnight, this sale will end and prices will go back to normal, and customers can buy as many as they want during the sale. Again, Alpha T2, $19.99 a bottle, Erase, $22.99 a bottle, and Shift, which is the Alpha T2 without the stems, $17.99 a bottle. Go to orbitnutrition.com and show them some love. We're talking with Dr. John Chrysler right now, and we're talking about the different various types of tests. If you want to find out where you are with your hormones and other issues that you're trying to check out, it's very confusing on what works and what doesn't. So we've pretty much ruled out saliva testing for anything but cortisol.
I want to beat up saliva testing some more.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So you got the proponents of saliva testing and say that's an ultrafiltrate. You have the proponents that say it's intracellular levels. I've even heard so-called saliva testing experts on stage claim both. Now, those are mutually exclusive concepts. Either it's coming from the blood straight through, or it's being produced inside the saliva gland. You can't have both. They're mutually exclusive, so they cannot exist simultaneously in the same space and time. That's pretty ridiculous.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is, it is what is being produced inside the saliva gland. It is being what is produced inside the saliva gland. For instance, DHEA enters a cell from the bloodstream. And by the way, DHEA sulfate does not enter the saliva gland. It will enter other cells of the body. So right there, you're breaking away saliva from a good biomarker, a reliable biomarker for what's going on in the rest of the body. Because DHEA sulfate will enter other cells, but does not enter the saliva gland. Then when the DHEA gets inside the cell, the saliva gland actually can convert to testosterone. So it's actually processing hormones inside the saliva gland. And it's doing it in the way that saliva gland does it, not the other tissues of the body. And the 11-beta-HSD enzyme is inside the saliva gland. That is what converts back and forth cortisol to cortisone. And that's why some people are using licorice root to treat
adrenal fatigue. Right.
Yeah, I don't, because licorice root, in affecting 11-beta-HSD, also works on other hormones as well, and I don't like that being an endocrine disruptor. So you're actually converting cortisol to cortisone inside the saliva gland, and that's a processing your results or affecting your results as well. Now, I think it's Genova has actually come out now and admitted that saliva glands are not reliable for following hormones once you've initiated therapy.
So and that's
a big admission.
Yeah, and that's because, so in other words, and they even talk about that, if you're using topical testosterone, it can alter the results of a saliva test dramatically.
Right. And if you put a couple grams of progesterone in, it can zoom your saliva test by 30 times the top of normal range. How can that possibly be? I have gotten, and I want to mention a lab, I don't feel like getting sued, even though they were already mentioned, a test that came back at such a high level, it has never been measured before in human history. Even on a guy that was measured post-mortem who shot something like 10 vials of test all at once.
Right, right.
And they claimed that it was accurate, that they rechecked it, and that was right. It's not right.
Well, I've had saliva tests be contradictory to serum tests. I stopped trusting saliva tests a long time ago. I just don't think they're... Now, you know, the blood test is good, but what about for growth hormone? You know, that's a big issue right now. Doctors are afraid to prescribe growth hormone, and what lays on top of that is the approach to testing for growth hormone is for looking at IGF-1 levels, and IGF-1 levels can rise independent of growth hormone levels from having a high-protein diet, for instance. Mm-hmm. Drinking lots of dairy products, for instance, can raise IGF-1 levels. So these doctors are going, well, you've got...
Wait a minute. Do you mean from the IGF-1 in the dairy?
Perhaps that's, the protein.
Well, that's what the organic wacko industry is claiming.
I don't think it's from the IGF-1 in the dairy, but I really think it's because of the high protein. If you're drinking a lot of dairy, that's a very, very high leucine content. Leucine is a trigger to the muscle building effect in the body through the mammalian target of rapamycin, and that upregulates a lot of the growth factors by the body. So you have a lot of things that can independently raise IGF-1 levels independent of growth hormone, yet doctors use the go-to test for people is IGF-1, and clearly that's not effective. So what is the effective way to test? John, if money and convenience was not an issue to the patient, What is the gold standard to determine if people are producing adequate amounts of growth hormone?
Well, first, let me squeeze in that antibiotics and steroids are an issue with milk, but growth hormone is no issue whatsoever. You could drink a whole vial of growth hormone or IGF-1, human, porcine, bovine, whatever. It won't affect you. It will never show up in your bloodstream.
Because it's broken down in the stomach like a protein.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah, that's a bunch of nonsense.
I mean, it's a very complex folded peptide of about 44,000 Dalton, I think.
Yeah, 190 amino acids.
It's okay, not going to happen. I mean, it's not going to get into the stomach. It's not going to get into the lining of the body. But anyway, so with that being said, what is the go-to gold standard? What should doctors be doing for testing for growth hormone deficiency?
Well, across the population, IGF-1 levels are good at a confidence interval of about 95%. The problem is, we have to keep this in mind, our patients are not coming to us because their bodies read the medical books, as we say. We do not want to do testing where, for instance, the saliva gland is processing hormones in its own way for the individual. We want that stuff that's reliable across the board where we have a reliable biomarker. In other words, within a normal range set across the population, whatever that means, basically two standard deviations, is that your clinical response or how you feel will match a given level of your bloodstream. So what do we go for growth hormone? Well, the IGF-1 levels on blood, we already talked about their issues. And, in fact, if fasting insulin is very low, then we don't see IGF-1 elevate under growth hormone stimulation anyways. At least we have to consider that this is being produced by the liver, and it's not what's happening peripherally, too. So I love the 24-hour urine test for growth hormone. There's only one assay that I consider valid, and that's a company out of Belgium that makes it. And, again, Ryan runs that for us. And has been backed up by increases when we're using, for instance, GHRP6 protocol, or when you're injecting growth hormones. So,
and basically, what they do is they do a 24-hour collection. Every time you urinate for 24 hours, you have to urinate into a vial, into a bag, basically a plastic box bag, whatever you want to call it. It looks like one of those wine boxes that you get.
The jug.
Yeah, and then they take that. And they analyze that because whenever you urinate, you're urinating out the metabolites of growth hormone, correct?
At growth hormone itself.
Growth hormone itself. Uh-huh. So that's the gold standard. That's really the only way to tell.
By the way, my guys need two jugs.
Okay. So now when you go to your doctor and you say, I want to be tested for growth hormone, and he sets you up with a date with LabCorp, and they're going to draw blood, can a patient say, wait, I want a 24-hour urine test?
They have to go to a doctor who's trained in this area, who knows what they're doing, obviously.
Doesn't the lab assay it and say, here's what it is? I mean, can't you go to the average doctor who's willing to give you an IGF-1 test and say, I don't want blood, I want urine? That's the reliable way to determine growth hormone.
Well, they have the laboratory has to be set up and qualified, certified to offer a 24-hour urine test.
Gotcha.
And it has to be an assay that we consider valid.
I got you. And LabCorp.
That is the laboratory methodology.
Right. Now I understand. I understand what you're saying now. Okay. All right. So with that being said, that means you end up having to go look for a different doctor.
Yes.
Okay. And so if you had a patient come to you, and you ran a urine analysis on them and for growth hormone, and you saw that they were growth hormone deficient, would you still have any concerns of prescribing? Do you think the FDA would still challenge that?
Well, FDA wouldn't be the governing body. It would be like a state medical board.
Okay, so you, a lot
if
of this...
you're, if you're misprescribing, you know the DEA be looking at you, which is why I just don't work at it. I don't even guys that come in who would be considered low growth hormone by conventional standards, which means they're really sick from low growth hormone, I still don't prescribe it. I just can't risk it.
And so
that's the situation that the politicians have created.
So you go to GHRP in that case?
I use, right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And as you know, as we've talked about before, many other benefits. It's much better to restore than replace.
Right.
And so to produce our own growth hormone is better, but also GHRP6 has its own intrinsic benefits, which are well beyond the growth hormone.
There's a good study that shows that GHRP is beneficial after a cardiac ischemic event in helping the heart heal faster.
No doubt. Well, I'll tell you, if I had a heart attack, I would want IV testosterone, and I'd want a wallop of growth hormone, because that's been shown to reduce the size of the dead tissue that's left over
right.
after a heart attack.
Right, yeah, but go get a doctor to do that one for you.
Yeah, the studies are very, very clear. Why is this not being done? Evidence-based medicine is not being practiced by conventional medicine.
Okay, we're going to take a commercial break early. I want to come back and I want to ask you your opinion of blood spot testing, which is supposed to be the new non-invasive, better than saliva, but still depending on blood. We're talking with Dr. John Chrysler from All Things Male. You can visit his website, allthingsmale.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. John Chrysler from All Things Male. We're talking about the various types of testing that is available to people when they're interested in having their hormone levels checked. And which are reliable and the go-to ones and which aren't. What is your opinion of this blood spot test? I think just one company offers it now, or is there more that offer it now?
I've heard of one that does. I'm sure more will be jumping on board. If not, you know, I sent a patient to the hospital to a laboratory with trained phlebotomists. Excuse me. They draw a specimen. They spin it. It's processed at, you know, given, you know, low light conditions and at the right temperature and with the right tubes and the right preservatives, and it goes right in the lab there, and we wonder whether that's being done right. somehow putting a drop of blood on a piece of filter paper or mailing across the country is supposed to be acceptable. That just doesn't make sense to me. You know, they come up with these studies which are, you know, who knows how many times they had to swing before they got the answers that they wanted. It just doesn't make sense. If we're talking about forensic science, that's one thing. But for routine and reliable laboratory testing, I wouldn't go near it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so the bottom line becomes that serum testing is really the only way to go. Everything else is just a second place alternative. That's it.
Not necessarily. You know, when you work in my field, where we're at the cutting edge, you know, we're already used to having to walk on slippery rocks all the time. We're pinched between figuring out exactly what the science is, patients whose subjective complaints can be quite confusing, trying to correlate that to whatever laboratory analysis we're getting, you know, the way the laws work, our medical boards, whatever. I say we should reduce the variables as far as possible. So I don't want to do stuff, I don't want to be doing testing where I have a bunch of extra variables that are introduced just by the testing methodology. So if I'm doing my testing, and also, by the way, insurance company coverage, you know, a lot of insurance
companies. And that's a whole other issue entirely.
Yeah, insurance companies. By the way, Blue Cross Blue Shield covers the 24-hour Rhines. They're wonderful. And we're saving Blue Cross Blue Shield a ton of money down the road by getting these patients healthier and happier. I mean, if we're curing their depression or the erectile dysfunction, right there is an antihypertensive and Viagra they don't have to pay for. And also treatment of type 2 diabetes, less drugs there. I mean, it's just amazing how many drugs we were able to cross off the polypharmacy list, you know, through our functional medicine. If a guy's coming in and he has standard insurance, and I always have to try to work to reduce the cost for our patients, not because it's the right thing to do, especially in the economy, because that's our pride. We like to do that for people. I do like the serum testing for injectable testosterone. I think there are issues from my clinical experience on doing urine testing. When, for instance, during the first 2 to 3 days after the testosterone cypionate shot, when the serum androgen levels are accelerating rapidly, I think you tend to hyper excrete more, and it falsely elevates the 24-hour urines. You have a more stable level across the day with the 24-hour urines, so the benefit, across the day with the testosterone cypionate, so the benefit of the 24-hour urines, which is where you're evening out the pulses with normal production or with a transdermal gel, for instance, you don't really need that. So for testosterone cypionate, I do like the serums. For the transdermals, it's the 24-hour urine, hands down.
Really?
If you have normal production of testosterone, everybody knows that these hormones are produced in a pulsatile fashion, and you get that same pulsatile fashion with a transdermal, which is why transdermals are more physiologic or more normal than TestSip shot. That's why I favor a transdermal gel, not a cream, a gel, over shots. In that, you know, you get peaks and valleys, basically a 24-hour urine and collecting all the testosterone that you produce in a day is, and its metabolites, of course, is you're getting the area under the curve for that production. So you can't hide anything from a 24-hour urine.
Mm-hmm.
But you do get some variables in there. For instance, I think the HCG injections do tend to cause hyperexcretion or hypermetabolization, and so I don't like my guys, unless they're regularly doing them every day or every other day, their HCG shots, I have them hold the HCG for the 24-hour urines, which I do for my serums with testosterone as well, because I'm trying to dose the testosterone without the HCG, you know, tending to cloud the picture. So for TestSip shots, I do like the serums better. For the transdermal, there's no doubt it's a 24-hour urine panel.
Okay. And is there, do you have any knowledge on this hair testing and what it's all about? Or is that just for, like, recreational drug use?
Dumber in a box of rocks there, Carl.
Okay, so you don't have any of that information. Because we actually have a question from Professor Dr. Andro, who is a listener in Germany. And he asked about today's show. Apparently, he spends time on your boards. You have boards associated with your website, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He said, Carl, could you ask Dr. Chrysler of his current opinion on pregnenolone testing? I know there has been an issue on his board with some of his patients receiving transdermal pregnenolone without any changes in serum levels. What's going on with that?
Well, yeah, between my guys, the guys on my forum, we've figured out so much stuff there. I mean, it's like I've got a whole, there's a testing group. They're wonderful people. Couple issues. You know, I do like a cream for pregnant alone. Like DHEA, it needs to go into a cream. It doesn't have a charge on it, electrical charge on it, like testosterone does. It doesn't go into a gel very well. You know, is it that we're not getting enough of the transdermal in, and so it just is not showing up on labs? Is it being processed? It's been a real problem for us figuring how to use it. And then the micronized version came out, and that causes a very different pattern on the 24-hour urines. The test that I order is 28 different assays, which is a heck of a deal for the cost. It just is completely changing the pattern, the profile on the urines, and I'm just not quite sure how to interpret that yet. Again, we just kind of go back to clinical response, as we talked before in the wonderful episode that we did on pregnenolone. I love pregnenolone, especially in a transdermal, and have had tremendous success in my patients in resolving anxiety issues and, getting guys off harsh medicines like, for instance, Effexor, getting them back onto good, normal, natural, bioidentical pregnenolone that really has never hurt anybody. And, you don't even have to worry about accidental transfer because you get on a pregnant woman and get on a child, it just can't hurt them.
Well, and I've had a lot of experience with transdermals, and I can tell you that There are some people that are malabsorbers. They for a variety of different reasons. Hydration levels can affect the absorption. Skin quality, the cosmetic quality of skin can affect the absorption. The vehicle that's being used itself over long periods of time can actually blockade the area of skin that it's being applied to from absorbing. I mean, there are so many variables that come into play when dealing with transdermals that I remember a person in particular, a woman, who had tried several different transdermal applications, and over the course of 5 or 6 months, and they could not get her estrogen levels to rise adequately in response. Then I know other women that it works flawlessly for them. They rub it on, and boom, everything happens right. So you do have some people out there that I would call malabsorbers for whatever reason. I don't understand why. But it just doesn't get in. It just, for some reason, it just doesn't end up in their bloodstream for some reason. I don't know if it lays on the skin. And you'd have to be in the bathroom watching what they do. Do they rub it on and then immediately put their clothes over it? Do they let it dry? Do they, there's so many variables when it comes into transdermals. What do you think about, the Sotopelle, the pellet, for hormone replacement therapy?
Well, let me finish the, transdermal.
Okay, sure.
Point. You make excellent points, Carl, as always. If they're not absorbing, get a free T3 level. Look at their thyroid. You have to get down to a free T3 and maybe in reverse T3 to see, to reevaluate thyroid function properly. And also, it's the winter time. Skin's a little drier. And like I said, it could be just you need a different base, and that's a good place to have a wonderful relationship with your compounding pharmacist. When someone's not absorbing, it means I have a lot of questions I have to ask the patient. I have to try to figure out what the cost, the reason is. Sometimes it's because, for instance, if they're using Androgel or Testum, two fine big pharma products, some 1% testosterone gels, you apply it with your hand. And if you go to a compounder then, you have to completely change how you apply it, because if you get it on a hand and you start to rub it on the body, it absorbs in the palmar surface, and the palmar surface of your hand is so thick, it never hits the bloodstream. So they're basically not getting any on the areas that would absorb it. And also, guys are doing different things, trying different things, and guys on the boards are telling them to do different things, and that can non-standardize their application. So one day some's getting in, and some days it's not, and it's hard to correlate what's going on in the labs with it. So it can be kind of tricky, and it takes a certain amount of clinical experience by the practitioner to ferret that out sometimes.
If you're a transdermal hormone user, and you've had good experience early on, but now all of a sudden it starts to wane. Some of the things to consider, again, and I'm going to say it again, hydration. Mm-hmm. Hydration plays a very, very large role in the ability for the stratum corneum to be disrupted by the vehicle. If you're not well hydrated, the stratum corneum is much more difficult and rigid to disrupt, number one. Number two, hydroalcoholic gels, like Androgel, for instance, have a tendency to dry the skin out over time, because of the qualities of alcohol, making the area that you place it on become less and less absorbent over time.
That's why there was a study done on hydroalcoholic gels that showed that if you rotate your application area, and if I remember the study showed they were using upper arm left one day, upper arm right another day, upper abdomen the next day, outer thigh another day, and rotating between four or five places, that there was a 10 to 15% greater level of absorption, because the 5 days that that area didn't get exposed to that alcoholic gel allowed the cosmetic qualities of the skin to return. So, you know, transdermals, you have to be cautious with them. And that's why I personally prefer liposomal-based transdermals, things that use organogels like phospholipids, like lecithin-based organogels. They have greater cosmetic qualities. Lecithin, the phospholipids in it, disrupt the stratum corneum to a greater degree than alcohol, allowing for greater absorption, and they don't dry out the skin. So you don't have this issue with having to rotate. However, the only caveat to that is this. The skin becomes saturated with the hormone, and it's first in, first out. You think of it like a line. The people at the back of the line can't rush through until the guy in front of them moves forward. If you apply your transdermal to the same area every single day, there's a good chance that a portion of it is never getting into the skin. That's another good reason why you should rotate your application areas, because the skin becomes saturated and becomes a depot, if you will, slowly allowing the hormone to flow forward to the fatty layer and then be diffused into the capillaries. It's good to rotate.
We discussed this very point with Dr. Shippen and also my pal Dr. Larry Comer from Toronto area. Our feeling is really that you should use the same area of application. Make sure the area is large enough that you can cover that amount of absorption. If you're going around rotating around different areas of the body, first of all, there's no safety concern involved. But if you're rotating around different areas of the body, you're not standardizing your treatment. Then when you get labs done, you know, what are you measuring? And we're trying to figure out what this patient is getting into the body each and every day. So there are pluses and minuses to both schools.
Okay. So you're opposed to that rotating your application area then?
Right. I want the guys to standardize. I want the guys to reach a static environment.
Because you rather the predictability, even if some of it's not being absorbed, you'd rather the application size and predictability not to be changed, no variables being changed.
Right, because we're trying to titrate the dose. And again, like I mentioned earlier, we're already on slippery rocks with this stuff. There's just so much science we still need to learn that I want to reduce the variables as much as possible.
Okay. All right, let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Dr. John Chrysler from All Things Male. Visit his website, allthingsmale.com. We'll be right back.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SH Radio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptide with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at Bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula. Here,
Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. John Chrysler. A little bit later in the show, we're going to have Vince Andrich on. We're going to be talking about the seedy drug culture that lies beneath the bodybuilding community. It's going to be a good show. Okay. Getting back to testing, let's face it. The bottom line is, as you said earlier, and I think that was a very, 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 very insightful, that a doctor has already determined something from the presentation of your symptoms and just wants to justify the modality of treatment by running tests. And so quite often tests can be wrong. Even a good serum test can be off. There's been tests, right? Right, John? I mean,
Oh, yeah. I've had, for instance, you order, the total testosterone from Quest Diagnostics, and it happens all the time. They run it two different methodologies, comes back on the same printout. They can be off by 50%. And yeah. That freaks you out.
Yeah. And what do you do in that case?
Treat the patient.
Right.
Look, if they're not having negative symptoms from going too high, and you know I'm a normal range kind of guy, the problem, though, as you and I well know, is that men are more as better creatures. And they come in to me and they tell me, you know, I want my testosterone to be as high as possible, which is why, by the way, they'll wait till the last day of the week before their next injection to have their serum labs done because they think that that's going to get them more testosterone. Like, oh, Doc, haven't been around the block a few times. But the problem is that everyone has a set point. I've had a couple guys in here, just new patients, just the last couple of weeks, that are doing very well at the test level of 500.
Right.
And they are optimized, they're healthy, their happy, energy level is good, sexual function is awesome. If I took them higher to the top of a normal range, they would lose that. A lot of times, guys feel better physically, more energy, better performance in the gym, whatever, at a higher level, but their sexual function falls off.
I was just going to say,
leave it behind.
I learned this the hard way, okay?
So to
I'm going
to
discuss this openly on the air right now.
You okay? Learned the not hard way.
Yeah, exactly, the not hard way, exactly. At 1,500 milligrams of testosterone a week, I started having erectile issues.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure it out. I was like, "Why? This doesn't make sense." So I talked to my good friend, Dr. Mark Gordon, and he explains to me how DHT...
As only Dr. Gordon can.
Yeah, he explains to me as how DHT enters the brain. DHT doesn't enter the brain as DHT. It enters as testosterone first and then converts to DHT to increase libido. And he explained the problems with high circulating levels of testosterone. And sure enough, I backed off and went down to a maintenance dose. And everything went back to normal. So it's counterintuitive. You would think that, wow, 1,500 milligrams, you would feel even greater, and it doesn't necessarily work out that way. And then I came to find out from him that, and we're probably going to talk about this in the later part of the show, that many, 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 many pro bodybuilders depend on Cialis, Viagra, and Levitra because they all have erectile dysfunction from the pleiotropic effects of these hormones that they're using.
Well, their whole systems are whack to start with. So I think what's happening, you get testosterone too high, your DHT is getting too high.
Right.
And DHT increases the sympathetic nervous system response.
Right.
One half of the autonomic nervous system.
Right. And you tend to become anxiety-ridden almost.
Right. The parasympathetic is responsible for erections. The sympathetic is responsible for the orgasm. So all that DHT is basically burning up your wires.
Exactly. Exactly. So counterintuitive as it may seem, but accurate. And quite frankly, I would have never believed it if someone would have told me this had I not experienced it myself. And sure enough, and I'll tell you something else about that. To come full circle, to feed something into this whole testing that we're talking about. When you come down from those types of ridiculously super physiological doses, you can be off for weeks. I say weeks, and still feel great because your cells get so loaded up with testosterone. As serum levels drop, the cells release the testosterone like doves into the air. You continue to have high circulating levels of testosterone.
Well, I think they're clear. There are epigenetic effects, there's receptor upregulation and downregulation. Once a guy has been a bodybuilder and been on a gram a week or more, it's darn near impossible to talk him into a testosterone gel after that. I mean, it's going to be shots or nothing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think that eventually I would like to go to a gel just because of the convenience. I become very frantic about injecting, even though I've been doing it for, 4 years now. But every time I have to inject, I go through the same ritual where I become anxious about it. Am I going to hit a nerve? Is the syringe going to dance in the glute, while I'm waiting to empty it? Am I going to end up hitting a vein and getting shortness of breath? It's the same thing over and over again. And I hate it.
Tough as you are, Carl, I'm surprised you just bounce right off.
No, yeah, right. No, you know what? I've only actually gone through a vein a handful of times, and when retracting the syringe, a droplet of the oil may have got into the vein, and it hits your lungs, and you start sweating, and you get shortness of breath, and that freaks me out. The potential for that to happen. So every time I inject, it's always the same anxiety-ridden feeling that I get.
Yeah. And guys are alternating glutes with testosterone replacement therapy, the blood starts just pooling, or just hammering the area. But back to your question previously about the pellets, that we like the transdermal gels because they're more physiologic.
Yeah.
They're very, very up and down. The shots are less variable. So a transdermal gel is variable across the day but stable across the week. A test sip shot is variable across the week but stable across the day.
Right.
So as a man is young, his testosterone levels go up and down a lot, as do other hormones. In fact, the first thing that happens as we age with respect to neurotransmitters is their variability goes down. So entropy or randomness is part and parcel of youth. That's why growth hormone drops first. It seems most susceptible to that. So testosterone gels mimic the hormones of a young man. Testosterone cypionate mimics hormones of an old man. And testosterone pellets don't mimic the hormones of anybody.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and maybe I will eventually go to a gel or transdermal cream. Right now, I'm just not ready to do that, but eventually I think I will. Dr. Chrysler, tell my listeners if they have an interest in working with you. Can they work with you even though they live in different states?
We have patients in all 50 states now. Many of them travel in to see us, of course.
How often do they have to travel in to see you? Once a year?
We sure like them to come back, but in this economy, I just can't dump my guys and leave them. A guy is struggling to make ends meet. He can't stand to be dumped by his doctor and left in a hypogonadotrophic state, to try to make it in this world.
Right.
A lot of times too, I work through their own local doctor on a consultation basis. We're always happy to do that. It's a lot more work for me. The local doctor has to do the prescribing and then write the labs. I help interpret them as doctors do in every field of medicine. I'm happy to do that. Also, then we tend to educate the doctor, and maybe he or she will treat more patients, and so we're spreading the good word and helping more people that way. And I also have been offering, following so many people on my forum, who, it always amazes me, some guy will post 3 pages of his medical history and a bunch of pages of his labs and ask me for basically a free consultation on my forum. Like, I'm going to spend an hour taking care of him. No doubt I could spend 100 hours a week doing that for people for free everywhere, and really it's very difficult to keep my office open like that. So in order to get some one-on-one time with some of these guys on the boards, I let them buy a half an hour of my time for a couple hundred bucks. And they get their own labs done and present it to me. A lot of times they're already working with a local doctor, and I just give them advice. I can't order labs or whatever, but I can surely give them advice on what to do, like I would on my forum, but they're just getting my personal attention, and we get to talk about it for a while.
Man, they post it openly, all their blood work on a board. What about HIPAA? Goes right out the window.
They cross out their names. We sure want them.
Yeah.
Sure want them to. But the HIPAA, the patient can do whatever they want to. You own your medical history. You own the labs that are in the doctor's file. So if you go to your doctor and say, you know, I want a copy of my labs, if he or she doesn't give it to you, they're in trouble for that.
Yeah.
You should probably say it's just wrong. The doctor does have the right to interpret the labs before they give them to you, because that's what we do. We don't want a patient running off, you know, thinking they interpret their own labs and get in trouble or hurting themselves based on it, because it's an interpretation lab. That's why you have to go to medical school.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, well, listen, people could go to allthingsmail.com to learn more about Dr. John Chrysler, and hopefully you learned something about testing today, and it seems like blood testing is it. Get yourself a phlebotomist and get your blood drawn for your labs. Does that sound like it?
Well, blood testing, and I love the 24-hour urines.
Yeah, of course.
But you also get the intracellular metabolites, and you can see what's going inside the cells.
And it's always fun to carry that big warm bottle of urine around with you everywhere you go for a day. Nothing
especially
like
on a construction site.
Nothing like it. Put it down on a countertop. Put it down on your table while you're eating lunch, you know.
By the way, keep the urine sample cool.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Got to keep it refrigerated?
Yeah, I got truck drivers carrying their cooler in their truck.
Oh, that's wonderful. I hope they don't mistake it for apple juice.
That's happened.
Oh, I didn't want to. I can't believe you said that. I was just joking.
Just having some fun.
All right, listen, Dr. Chrysler, thanks for being on the show today.
Glad to be with you, Carl.
Okay. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Vince Andrich on. We're going to be talking about the seedy underbelly of the bodybuilding sport, especially as it pertains to the recreational drug side of it. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. Orbit Nutrition.
OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
I did it again, baby.
Yeah!
The ladies are gonna love you.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest has been on the show before. Spent a very, very long time in this industry. Was a competitive bodybuilder. Worked for some of the top companies. Bill Phillips, Metrix, EAS, Weider Publications. He's probably considered bodybuilding royalty, if you want to consider it that way, from the supplement side. Vince Andrich. How you doing, Vince?
I'm doing great, Carl. How you doing?
Very good, very good. And we had a good time at the Arnold, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I appreciate it. Yeah,
it was a lot of
very
fun.
Very nice.
Anyway, and we kind of got into this discussion at the Arnold, you and I. This is where this whole thing started. And I said, you know, we really need to do a show about this. Back in the day of guys like Vince Gironda, Jack LaLanne, drugs were there, but they were frowned upon. They were not accepted by and embraced by the bodybuilding community. And so drug use, steroid use, was not openly discussed, and it was subject of ridicule if you were found out to be using these types of drugs. Fast forward to today. The discussion of steroids is open on forums and bulletin boards, and while the top pros may not come straight out and say anything about it, it's well known that they're all using. The industry turns a blind eye to it, kind of like the Catholic Church did to fondling little boys, trying its best to ignore that it happens, and consequently ostracizing some of the top bodybuilders when they do test positive, acting like, oh, shame, shame, you should know better, when everybody knows that everybody up there is doing it. And we started discussing this, and we started to make the linkage between how the drug culture, I'm talking about the recreational drug culture, has sprouted some of some bodybuilders, because people said, you know, I got away from cocaine, I got away from these drugs, but now I like bodybuilding because I'm allowed to use drugs. And there's a whole mystique around the acceptance of drug use in the bodybuilding culture, right?
Well, that's true, and you know, there's, as we say, variations of rationalization to what degree you do the drugs. You know, you rationalize why you wouldn't use them the same way that you begin to rationalize using them. You know, I don't use as much as the next guy. He uses a lot. I use a little. I train for shows. They don't. There's a whole myriad of things that people use to, you know, rationalize their use versus somebody else's use.
Right. And would you agree that there are a faction of individuals who are in bodybuilding today solely because of the drug use?
Oh, because it's there's a circle of folks that you can hang out with and purportedly have your own drug use. In other words, it's like the people who use street drugs, usually at some point, your only friends are the ones that are using with you.
Right.
Or, you know, you can't hang out with people that don't use, because you're going to be ostracized.
Right.
So your friends only become the ones you can go and do what you do. Bodybuilding, allows that. It's a little fraternity of guys who, and of course girls as well, or women as well, but yeah, it becomes your little insulated group that won't frown upon what you're doing, and so therefore gives you a little free rein, I guess, psychologically.
Right, right. And isn't that the same type of culture that occurs in the recreational drug world? When you look at recreational drug use, you look at people who gather together and they're bonded by their drug use, number one. Number two, the allure of getting the drug, the excitement of getting the drug is part of the whole process. Then using the drug. This same framework occurs within the bodybuilding community. You know, you have people who are friends, like you said, sharing information about how to use this particular drug, that particular drug, and the excitement of getting your drugs, and some are very public about it, their usage. I mean, look, I'm not throwing a stone. I'm saying me too. Okay? I mean, I walk in this same realm to a certain degree. So it's not like as though I'm condemning anybody, but it started to dawn on me that, you know, this resembles the same recreational drug culture that I grew up with in the 70s. The only difference I would say is this, and you used the word rationalize a moment ago. The only difference I see is this, that using cocaine and these other drugs can be damaging to the body, and I think that most would rationalize that, well, these drugs are good for you. They're building muscle. They're making you lean. They're making you strong. So they're good for you. So the attributes are positive.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Again, that's another, and it's not incorrect. I mean, for years, I think, you know, the proverbial elephant in the room was drug use with bodybuilding or perform, you know, athletics. And I think Muscle Media probably was the first magazine that took a position that, wait a minute, they're out there. You probably already know they're out there. No one's really talking about it. And their position was kind of two talking on both sides of their face, so to speak. On the one hand, it was, you don't really need to take boatloads, per se, of supplements. That's a Bill Phillips term. He didn't say, you know, a little bit, a few cycles a year was probably healthy, which is probably what some of these anti-aging doctors would tell you or prescribe. It depends on your age and everything else, on how much and when you take these exogenous hormones, and that can be very, very healthy. Certainly, when you're 19 and you're loading up on physiological things, that's not the right thing to be doing. But you know, there's a couple of other things that I think are worth mentioning.
And what's that?
One is that I think a lot of drug use is tied to some type of either depression or, as I would always say, you're trying to get the knobs right. In other words, you don't maybe feel as good as you think you can feel, and I think that's been overblown now with the drug companies pushing all kinds of pharmaceuticals. However, my sister's a psychiatrist in Oregon, and she was a bodybuilder, although for only like one contest. But when you have, she's had patients that would be in Oregon. They'd run twice a day, rain, sleet, snow, mud, doesn't matter. They go on an antidepressant. Over time, they train less. The training becomes part of a drug. It's you're masking some sort of depression at on some level, and that again is, you see these people with a lot of high profile celebrities, I guess you see most, but they're self-medicating. And the self-medication is because they've got something that isn't quite right in their neurochemistry. And it doesn't have to be as wild and crazy as someone who's seriously bipolar and almost not able to hold a job. But you see it. You know, the person that drinks, what are they trying to do? I mean, sometimes it's just social. Sometimes it's because they have an alcoholic gene. And sometimes it's to feel better because they can socialize under the influence better than not under the influence. And so there's a lot of factors that go into why someone would use something to change the way they look and feel.
Yeah, you're right. You said it. They're self-medicating. I think that as a young man, as a teenager, I was self-medicating with my use of recreational drugs. And I believe that you're right, that we feel like something just isn't right, and we feel that we could feel better if we could get it right. And for some reason, we believe that through drugs, we can do that. And the pharmaceutical industry has capitalized on that. I mean, nowadays, how can you tell a kid, don't use drugs, when they're bombarded with messages that are designed to reach their parents, and many have reached their parents, that says, you know, you don't feel so good, Abilify, you don't feel too good, oh, you're wetting yourself, hey, take this. You know, it's like, how do you tell kids, don't use those drugs when mom and dad use these drugs? How do you do it? You can't do it. So you're right.
First thing is possible, yeah.
You're right. But, you know, when you look into an industry like the sports industry, now you have drug use that has a different purpose. It's not just to, gee, I want to feel better. It's I want to perform better. I want to look better. I want to have greater strength. And these are positive things. The irony is that these are positive things, to look better, to feel better, to be stronger, to be more muscular. These are all positive things. So does the end justify the means? And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. We're talking with Vince Andrich, and you're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlan, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's OPResource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to OPResource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net.
One testosterone was the king of muscle and strength building agents. Now there's One Andro RX. One Andro RX is pharmaceutical grade one androsterone. It converts to one testosterone in the body. The results are 7 times more anabolic than testosterone and can't convert to estrogen or DHT, so you never have to worry about bloating or water retention. One Andro RX will build lean muscle while helping you shed body fat. You can get One Andro RX by visiting IronMagLabs.com. The winter is upon us. Make this season count by adding some new muscle with One Andro RX.
Listen strong It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Vince Andrich. And right now we're talking about the drug use within sports, especially bodybuilding, really. How it affects people and how it is really truly condoned. I mean, the drug culture is openly discussed in sports in general. Naturally, they're not talking about it in front of the media, but they're definitely talking about it. There's no doubt about that. So, Vince, what did you think about my statement about does the end justify the means? Let's face it, muscle, strength, these are all good things.
Well, I guess it depends on how you get there. I mean, as far as how much and all that. Honestly, I would have to say if the drugs or anabolics are going to help you have a stronger body, longer, certainly it's justified. You know, the means definitely justifies the end result. But we've got to the point now where some of the imagery and some of the information that's out there is pretty, well, it's downright too aggressive. And
what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Expand upon that. What do you mean? Some of the imagery is just too aggressive.
Well, I think the bodybuilding imagery is extremely aggressive as far as what is considered a championship physique. And again, I've gone on record a lot of times saying, you know, I like kind of like the classic look. And let's face it, those guys in the 70s and such, even 80s, they were not drug free by any means. But the amount of drugs or the availability, or maybe even the culture itself, acceptability of certain amounts of drugs, coupled with the training techniques and the, you know, better supplements, better knowledge of how to eat and train, coupled with, I believe, a better pool of talent. I mean, if you go back to the 50s, 60s, or, you know, even part of the 70s, you wouldn't see some of the talent you started to see genetically that you saw in the 80s and 90s. And it's like that in probably a lot of sports. All of a sudden, people go, wait a minute, this is kind of cool, I'll get in. Whereas, you know, you may have had guys that were short in stature, didn't get attention at all by any means, and so they lifted weights. So there was this stigma, oh, that's only for short guys and whatever. But, you know, once you started to see, look at the 80s, and that's one the era that I kind of cut my teeth as a bodybuilder, the type of physiques that were starting to show up. I mean, this is when you saw Bob Paris, Sean Ray, Flex Wheeler. These physiques started showing up, and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not just a guy that had an average body and made it phenomenal. These are people that were probably phenomenal without even training, and now they look ridiculous. I mean, the talent pool just got crazy. I think now you've got a talent pool of guys who can put on extreme amounts of muscle, and that's become kind of a calling card. So I think when you see guys that have so much muscle, and you're a young kid, 16, 18, and then you run into a guy that says, hey, drugs can get you there. Maybe it's a lot more drugs that you're thinking in your head is going to make me look like Branch Warren. Nothing against Branch Warren. Nothing against somebody who's genetically gifted and works their ass off to get where they got. But it's a far cry from when I saw Frank Zane on the front cover of Muscle Builder in 1977 at 185. To me, I mean, I was nearly 25 years old before someone convinced me that competitive bodybuilders use steroids. I was so naive.
Well, you know what? There's a lot to be said for a sustainable physique. I mean, when you look at Zane, when you look at Gironda, you see a physique that you could reproduce over and over again with a modicum of training and proper nutrition. When you look at Dorian Yates, who really was the first freak to kind of break the mold, you know, the first guy to where they looked at him and they went, holy mackerel, this guy just opened the door to the freaks. That's not sustainable. I mean, I don't know what Gironda looked later on in life, but I see a lot of bodybuilders that were bodybuilders back in the day that are in their 40s and 50s who have really nice physiques. I mean, I saw Lee Labrada this weekend. We talked for a while. Lee still looks great. I mean, he doesn't look like he did when he was up on stage because he's probably running his business and he's got a family and he's got all this other stuff going on. But you can look at him and go, wow, that guy is muscular. I mean, he looks great. Round shoulders, big muscle bellies, you know, he looks great. And that's sustainable. So in other words, Lee could probably carry that for the rest of his life if he wants to, just by hitting the gym three or four times a week and doing nothing really heroic. And there's a lot to be said for a sustainable physique. Now, if you're using high doses of drugs, whether you're young or old, whatever, and you've got a massive physique, you're carrying 250, 275 pounds, there's no way that when you come off, you're going to be able to, you're going to drop down to 220, 218. Why not just stay? I mean, unless you're truly a competitive bodybuilder, if you're a competitive bodybuilder, you have no choice but to bring it because everybody else is. You can't step on stage at 225 and hope the judges go, well, there's a much more esoteric physique. Even though he's 50 pounds lighter than everybody else, we're going to give it to him. They're not going to do that. They're just not. But if you're not a professional bodybuilder, if you're not standing on that stage, why try to attain that level of unsustainable muscle for a season, two seasons, three seasons, maybe four seasons? And then you got to let it go because you can't keep it for the rest of your life. You just can't.
Well, therein lies the problem. I think you nailed it, which is, you know, sustainability. And it, a couple of really good friends of mine wrote a piece in a magazine that I was doing for a client. And the client got sick, actually. Mel Rich, it was the guy who owned Bodyonix Pinnacle, and his manufacturing plant did brands like Xenodrine, Trim Spa, and a whole host of other things. And I just lost my train of thought.
You were talking about the guy who owns Pinnacle. You were talking about him, Bodyonix. You said you were about to say something about him. Well, let's go back. We were talking about sustainable muscle and the ability to reach a level of muscularity that is sustainable throughout life, because that really should be the goal. I mean,
I'm sorry. I got caught up in telling everyone that Mel had a magazine. It was
right.
Called Built.
Right.
But anyway, we had an article written by Jeff Luciano and Kevin Lawrence. And Jeff made a very good point. And if the listeners don't know Jeff was one of the original guys who help athletes with their anabolic and diet regimens. I mean, we're talking Muhammad Ali's camp, and we're talking the Los Angeles Rams, high profile, not just bodybuilding. And he was one of the guys that really Dan Duchesne was keyed into to get knowledge about how these chemicals can work in the body. His big so what was always moderation, blood testing. And one of the most profound things he ever told me was working with it was Jack Reynolds of the Rams at the time, and he had trouble with Jack Reynolds on just his diet and his training, and forget the anabolics, and I'm not sure if he even what he did if he did any, but he said, you know, Jack, you know, you're having trouble, you know, you're not eating enough. And he's like, Jeff, you know, ever since I've been a young boy, you know, 8, 9, 10. Football has been easy for me. Meaning, he didn't have to stretch to be what he was eventually, you know, Hall of Fame pro football player. And so if you look at steroids, and the argument in this article was basically, if the steroids can get you to your potential, your sustainable potential quicker, that's great. Okay? Some people have a higher level of potential right out of the gate, obviously. It's called genetics.
Right.
But if you have the argument of getting to your potential sooner, What's to say that a guy that is in high school that wants to be a better college football player doesn't take steroids in high school? Okay, let's rewind even further. Why don't I take him in junior high so I can be better in high school? And that was his argument. It's like, wait a minute, okay, reach your natural level, and then if there's a little icing on the cake, fine. But that should be something that's sustainable and realistic. And if you go by those guidelines, you're not going to be, you're not going to be a altar boy. But then again, you're not going to be someone who's chasing something that's probably not safe, healthy, certainly not sustainable.
Yeah, and that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Tell me about when you first got into bodybuilding. And compare it. Look at today and look at then. And I mean, you trained with Gironda, right? You trained at his gym periodically, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so you must have seen some real big names back in the day, right?
Sure. I mean, probably the biggest name that was training there was Muhammad Makawi.
Yeah, I remember
back
him.
He was
like a protege of Gironda's, right?
That's right.
Okay. Was there rumor about the drugs that were going on back then? And if so, what were guys using back then? Not necessarily Muhammad, but just guys in general. What were people using back then to attain their physical goals?
Well, 80, I can only account for 83 or 4 to about 88, and everything else is kind of hearsay. But it was a very, very strong belief that the androgenic stuff was what you stayed away from. Go for the stuff that had the highest anabolic to androgenic ratio, because that would put the least amount of water weight on you. And again, kind of the least amount of muscle that is not sustainable. I mean, super heavy doses of testosterone, when you unplug that, it's a nightmare. So the idea was to put on as much lean tissue with anabolics rather than the heavy androgens. Like, it started with the D-balls and the Anadrol 50s and all that, and then the tide turned, and it was Primobol and acetate and these European drugs that were considered only to make you hard.
Right.
But they became the top choice for the guys in the know, because they didn't want to get that. And that actually went with the look of the day, because the look of the day wasn't Dorian yet.
Right.
I mean, think about the physiques that were back then. There were some, genetically gifted, but also some real nice looking physiques that didn't spook people as much.
That's a good one.
Hey.
You know what? We have to take a quick commercial break. I want to talk about what the buzz was when Dorian stepped on stage. We're talking today with Vince Andrich, and we're talking about the performance-enhancing drug use within sports and especially bodybuilding, really. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3422.
4473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. OP Resource has a special deal for Superhuman Radio listeners. If you go to opresource.net, upon checkout, you use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25. One word. SUPERHUMAN. I believe they want the S and the H capped, so you may have to try it both ways. Capital S Super, capital H Human, 25, all one word. You get an additional 25% off their ridiculously already low, low prices. Check out opresource.net today. My guest today is Vince Andrich. Vince, what was the buzz back in the day when Dorian, first of all, Dorian trained in the UK, so no one here really got a glimpse of him ahead of time, right?
Right, right.
So when he shows up and steps on stage, what were people saying?
Well, the sad thing is, what drug is he on? Or what array is he on? And that's the sad part of it. The immediate buzz is he must be on some super chemical or chemical array.
And so it almost stole from him, because no one gave him credit for having any genetics and hard work.
Right, right. I mean, that's the worst part about it. It's always, you know, how can I, you know, he must have a special chemist. And that's really probably the saddest part of it all, is you have guys like Dorian who changed the face of what, you know, is possible. And we all know now, he trained beyond training.
Right.
You know, he broke the mold on that.
Right.
So.
But that when people saw that, they first may have been aghast, but then the next thing out of their mouth probably was, how do I attain that? How do I get up on stage looking like that?
True. True. I mean, I think there was a group of guys, myself included. I mean, I woke up one, you know, many times going, this is not sustainable the way I look at right now. And back to your point earlier, which is, okay, I always thought this has to get unplugged. So I knew that I was basically kind of chasing something that wasn't going to be forevermore. And so when you start seeing guys like Dorian show up, every once in a while there was an outlier with tremendous genetics. Like even when Haney showed up at 21 on the back of Muscle and Fitness as the champ, and you're like, okay, where's this guy come from with no waist and these shoulders and everything? But when you see the density and the muscularity and everything Dorian brought to the table, I think it inspired a lot of guys, and I think it maybe got some to take a second look at, well, do I even want to do this on a competitive level? Because this may not be the look that they wanted. And again, I could be wrong, but I think there's some athletes out there that kind of looked at bodybuilding as an art form, and when it got to that, there was less art and more just pure muscle.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, I don't necessarily find Branch Warren's physique appealing. Now, I know that, you know, the guy is a hard worker, genetically gifted, and he is doing everything right that he needs to do to win competitions, obviously. But I don't necessarily find his physique appealing. I don't look at him and go, wow, you know, that's really a thing of beauty. Or, I can appreciate the hard work, but I just don't. I think that it's a little too freakish. And I think, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine this weekend at the Arnold, and he is a judge. He's a NPC judge. I'll leave his name out of it. We were talking about how these judges judge today. You know, the NPC gives judges very, very little input on what the physical ideal is. A lot of times they say things to them like, just go up there and like in the case of, we were talking about bikini competitors, because there's a new segment that's becoming very popular. And you look from one competition to another, and you can't see any methodology on why they chose that girl at this event, and then they chose that girl at that event. You don't see any conformity in their choosing. And he said, right. You know, they get very little direction. They were told, just go choose the girl that you think is a 10. And he said to me, Carl, he goes, to me, a 10 is a girl who put in a lot of work and diet. And that's I'm going to reward her because she worked the hardest. She's got abs, you know, she's got some muscle on her. She looks like she really trained and worked for this. As opposed to the girl who is my 10, you know, like I look at her and think, wow, she's hot. She's got a great body. And part of the problem with, I think, personally, part of the problem with the freakishly overblown physiques, the unattainable muscle that's being carried, which you can't ignore that and then not talk about the drug use and the drug use that leads to it, really lies in the hands of the IFBB and the NPC. Because if they don't start telling their judges, here is the physical ideal we are looking for. We're looking for someone that has some sort of aesthetic value, some sort of balance, some sort of symmetry, and not just a guy who is the freakiest looking, then the winners that win these competitions will set the standards for what people want to get to look like in the gym. If you are truly a competitor, if you're a competitor, you're not going to go on stage fat and bloated because you know that's not going to win you a competition. And if the governing organizations start to set standards that don't condone the excessive drug use, you're not going to step on stage overly muscular either. You know? And so
that's right.
It's almost like if there's a law against dealing drugs, but every night on a reality TV show they paraded drug dealers and their cribs around, and they were going, hey man, this is the money I make dealing drugs, look at my crib, and they glorify them. It doesn't matter what they say, what they do is glorify them. So they could say, hey, well, we don't condone drug use, but now let's talk to these drug dealers. So what life do you, I got a great life. That's wonderful. All from dealing drugs? Yeah, all from dealing drugs. Well, now they're glorifying them. So if you're going to glorify them, then you're basically saying, hey, I know we say don't do it, but look how great it is, you know? And so I think the governing bodies really need to step up once and for all, and they need to have clearly defined, detailed guidelines of what the physical ideal is. And if it is huge and freaky, then say that. Say we want the biggest, most muscular, veiniest. He looks like he's gonna explode into 1,000 pieces of body parts on the stage. We want that guy. That's what we want. And then don't act like as though drugs are not in the game. Just go with it. You know, have the balls to just come out and say, this is what we want. And that's it. We're proud of it. We're not going to make any apologies. But don't say, well, we don't condone the drugs, and then reward the guy who is clearly using them to whatever degree. And I'm not going to say, oh, well, you know, the biggest guy is using the most drugs, because a lot of them are just genetically gifted. They work really hard. They got their nutrition dialed in for 10 years. They've been living a monk's life of training, eating, sleeping, and that's it. But clearly drugs play a role in that. And attain, getting to that unattainable level of muscle. Don't condone it. Don't reward it. And if you say that you don't condone the drugs.
No, you're absolutely right. They have a lot to do with the archetype that athletes or would-be athletes, and I will stick with male bodybuilding guys or weight trainers, that get the bug after they've trained and built some muscle, then if these are the physiques they're seeing get the attention, then they may veer into that territory. Whether or not they have the genetics for that or not, and you've seen a lot of guys, I'm sure, that don't make it in a magazine, but wandering around local gyms that have virtually ruined their body, to me. And that's one of the things that Gironda used to say about guys. He was saying it about Bob Paris back in the day. He's a beautiful physique, but he's going to go too far. Mark my words. And he may have. But when you saw Bob at the Mr. LA contest, about 20 pounds, 15 to 20 pounds less than when he competed in the Olympia, which to me probably the best symmetry and overall package still on the highest level stage, Olympia, one of, anyway, it was unbelievable. I mean, I don't think I could find a woman that was lucid that would say, that doesn't look phenomenal, his physique. You know, he's just under maybe 200 pounds at the time. And he had to get bigger because he was competing on another level. And that was one of the things Gironda always said. It's, you know, again, kind of, what's sustainable and what looks good for your bone structure? He would say, you know, there's guys that could be Hercules as far as their archetype, their body type. That's okay. And, you know, let's forget the drugs for now. But you could pursue that. But there's others that their body type, their bone structure and everything else doesn't play that well. And why chase it? And I'm kind of a big proponent of not only like the classical bodybuilding, but assessing your physique and trying to make it look as good as possible, not as big as possible.
Yeah, and again, it comes back to the governing bodies that reward the physiques that are on the stage. That's really what it comes back to. And I got a great analogy for you. NASCAR, they could attract a lot more fans to NASCAR. They would load the seats up at a NASCAR. NASCAR is already a well-attended event, right, Vince?
Yeah, of course.
They could double the number of people that show up at NASCAR if they'd let the drivers start purposely crashing into each other.
You're right.
I mean, just imagine if you knew every time you went to NASCAR, there's going to be 5 or 6 200-mile-an-hour wrecks. Boom, cars would explode into vapors of flames. Bodies, it would be like rollerball on steroids. Haha. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. So NASCAR doesn't condone that, even though it would bring more fans in. They're not going to do that. Right? So they set the guidelines. They say, hey, any kind of malicious activity out there, we can see that you're purposely, you know, doing things to try to cause someone else to wreck. You're out. And it's like,
good point.
So that's what needs to happen with the governing bodies. They need to go, you know what? We are not going to reward the most freaky physiques any longer. It doesn't matter if you are the biggest guy out there. If you don't have this criteria, this is the criteria, and they need to come up with it. And that's the criteria. And if you don't, and you could be the biggest, freakiest guy out there, and you're not going to get rewarded because you don't meet this criteria, then what's going to happen? After 2 or 3 years of that, You're going to see guys that are going to, that want to be the real bodybuilders, the guys that are in the game to really be bodybuilders and not to see how much drugs they can use. The real bodybuilders, they're going to start coming down. They're going to start working on their balance more and their symmetry more. They're going to work on their physiques more. They're going to start carving as opposed to right. just blowing up.
Well, you know, I have another theory on that.
Okay, wait. Then hold, you got to hold that. You got to hold the theory. You got to hold. We got to take a commercial break. I'm getting a hand waved at me. We got to get a commercial break. Let's take this commercial break. And when we come back, hold that thought on the theory that you have on it. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Sit tight. We're talking with Vince Andrich. We're talking about drug use in sports, especially bodybuilding. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Visit opresource.net. Use the coupon code Superhuman25. Superhuman25. Get 25% off. They're already low, low prices. Check them out. We'll be right back.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart-healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yeah! Throw your hands in the air right now, man.
That's Professor Axel.
Yo, crack the dawn.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today, Vince Andrich. Vince is one of those guys who's been all around the industry, high up on the food chain, competed. There's a great picture of Vince on Facebook, standing on stage. It's clear, Vince, that you are a master of conditioning. Dude, man, you're ripped to shreds. How old were you in this picture?
Thanks. I think in that photo, I was about, I think it was 25, 26 years old.
Dude, man.
Long time ago.
Your obliques were cross striated. I mean, you like unbelievable. You look like the G.I. Joe doll here. You do. You remember how G.I. Joe was like so hard and grainy looking when we were kids?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's fantastic physique.
If you can't be the biggest, try to be the best you can, I suppose.
But you know what's interesting about that? And I'll let you get back to your theory. When you're shredded, you look bigger than you really are.
That's the game.
When you have that, it's the illusion. When you have that muscle separation, when you have that muscle definition, you look so much bigger. Anyway, okay, I cut into you because I had to take the last break, and you had another theory. We were talking about this.
I can't get into the mind of Jim Mannion and the judging and those meetings that go on how to increase bodybuilding's awareness or popularity, how to judge contests, and that even goes further down the road and, who gets covers of magazines. But I was standing at, I think, the Olympia a couple of years ago, and there was a brand that just started off that they were trying to do their version of a knockoff of Animal, Universal's campaign. And if you've been to the shows, anyone in the audience, Animal or Universal has an area where it's all caged off, where the guys are lifting and doing lifting heavy weights,
screaming,
doing seminars.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they started off the Pros versus Joes, I think, several years ago. But this brand was trying to be somewhat like that, and they had a poster. I say poster, but something hanging from the ceiling that was pointing people to their booth, and the physiques were less than fantastic. They didn't look like powerlifters, really. They weren't bodybuilders. They're kind of in between for some reason. I don't know. And I had a friend of mine who looked up and goes, who would want to look like that? And they were impressive enough, certainly compared to the average person walking around. But my friend said, who would want to look like that? And I said, just think about it this way. And his name is Dave. I said, Dave, psychologically, if you think that the only way to get any attention through lifting weights is to look like Sean Ray, Bob Paris, let's say Lee Labrada, someone that has been known for shape, symmetry, balance, how are they going to get you in?
Right.
They'll get you in by telling you that you can build your body to the max. You could be the next Tom Platz. You could be Marcus Rule. So I think psychologically, and even if you go to these shows, even a local show, a guy without balance can sometimes bring the house down because he's got great arms, he's got great legs, he's got some body part or a couple of body parts or something that stands out. It's not the complete package, but people are like, oh my goodness, did you see that guy's calves, thighs, you name it. And I think that's part of the psychology of, and I don't know if it's purposely done by the IFBB or NPC, but not everyone has got the gifts that, a guy like Sean Ray has. I mean, that was one of the shows I went to that told me this is probably the end of the road for me. It was the 87 Nationals. Sean Ray won. I was a light heavyweight, and Sean Ray won his weight class and the light heavies. I mean, his weight class was light heavy then overall. And then you had in third place was Vince Taylor. Okay, that's how rich the competition was
right
back then. I went home packing, obviously. But you realize that the talent pool is like, okay, wait a minute, I can only go so far with this. So if there's other people that you can identify with in the magazine and go, wait a minute, I don't look like Francis Benfada. But I certainly have some body parts that people think are freaky. Or I have the dedication and determination to get a really big physique that may not be perfect, but man, I'm going to be in the hunt. I think that's how they
why does it have to be freaky? I think I talked about this during the Jack LaLanne show maybe, or maybe not. I forget. I mean, I do so many shows. But why does it have to be freaky? When did bodybuilding go from happy-go-lucky guys training and dancing to the Beach Boys on the beach in the sunshine with these fantastic physiques and preaching about nutrition and positive mental attitude like Jack LaLanne and all those guys back in the day? When did it go from that to
You best get out of my way or I'm going to break your jaw. I'm big and strong. I'm mean. I'm bald. I'm tattooed. When did it become, why did it go there? Like why, like even the commercials, when you look at the, when you look at the, I mean, find me a bodybuilder in a supplement ad that's smiling. That's like looking at you going, hey man, buy this. No, it's like, it's like,
you're angry.
Yeah, no, he looks like he's in the yard at Rikers Island. It's like, you're standing in my way. You know what I mean? It's like, when did it become that? When did physical culture become, I have this theory about that there's some people who are attracted to bodybuilding because they have insecurities. And let's face it, back in the day, guys like Siciliano, what was his real name? Charles Atlas, his real last name was Siciliano. They capitalized on that with the ads, with the guy kicking the sand in my face, and he takes my girl, so I'm going to be big and strong, and next time I'm going to punch him in the nose, and he's going to fall down. You know, they started to capitalize on that. I feel inadequate. I need muscle so people can be afraid of me, because fear equals respect. That's the linkage. It has nothing. Fear has nothing to do with respect. But when did it become that? When did it have to become, wow, I gotta have some freaky body parts so people look at me and go, man, that guy, what if you had a freaky nose? Like a freakishly big nose or a freakishly big brow? Would you be like, wow, check out my nose, man. Look how far it sticks off my face. No.
No, well, I've talked to some older body, not even that old, but the guys from the era where right before it went off the rails, so to speak, and a couple of them pretty bright, actually very bright with their theories. And one theory is, if the physiques stayed on par with, say, Zane and maybe a modernized version of that, let's say it's Zane, between Zane, Ben Fato, and you can say Bob Paris only because to me, every time you look at anything he's done that's still on YouTube, most people will agree that's about as good as you can get without looking like you have a car on your back, you know. And that's kind of what, not to digress, but, you know, when Ronnie had a beautiful physique and then he started getting bigger and bigger, to me, looked like he had, like, a Volkswagen on his back.
Right.
It's like, okay, wait a minute. You obviously were gifted. Do you have to go this far? But I think one of the most interesting comments I heard on that was, if this sport was pushing out really, let's just say, beautiful physiques, would a company come in that had the wherewithal to maybe compete with the Weeders or compete with the IFB NPC, because there could be money in it, because these people maybe could get, these top athletes could probably get commercials.
Right.
Who knows? One of the theories was, push it out so extreme that the mainstream people will never want to touch it, and so it'll still be ours.
Huh. Interesting. I didn't know that.
And, you know, it's just one person's kind of theory, like, if we make UFC, if it went back to where it was before the Fertittas bought it, it'd be their little group, but it didn't get, they found the right blend of rules and mano-mano competition that is timeless, let's face it.
Right.
With the UFC. So they struck mainstream gold, and there's still some people that will write and say, it used to be better when you had one guy that was, totally, 100 pounds bigger than the other guy. It ruined it. But they did the right thing. And maybe at some point the physique culture will get to it where it'll never probably be on TV or cable or pay-per-view. They've had the worst numbers ever in pay-per-view history when they tried to do bodybuilding.
Right.
But it still would seem to appeal to more people and get less of the, you must be doing drugs. I mean, because now that the cat's out of the bag, that we hear baseball players, football players, and these guys getting caught using performance-enhancing drugs, to be a bodybuilder now, unless you're all covered up, I mean, you look like, and even if you're not using anything, you look like a drug user now.
Right.
So I don't know where they're going to go with that. I think they're trying to add I think Bob Bonham is the one I was thinking about the other day when we had dinner. Yeah, I think he's bringing back the Mr. America contest.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty exciting.
And, you know, they're trying to do something with physique, with the NPC. We'll see where that goes. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they've had the same struggle with women. You know, they each you know half decade, they have to come up with a new division because the women take it too far.
Yeah. And now there's not going to be any more female bodybuilding, from what I understand.
Is that right?
Somebody told me that they're actually doing away with female bodybuilding. Like, they're not, the female bodybuilders, they're going to have to be figure fitness or bikini or something like that. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what that's something I heard at the Arnold Classic this weekend. But I don't repeat it because I'm not the smartest guy when it comes to the whole bodybuilding world. But anyway, listen, Vince, we've come to the end of the show. Want to remind everybody they can hear Vince on the Body RX show that we do with Dr. Scott Connolly, which we will be resuming soon. I know a lot of you have been messaging me on Facebook asking me when the next Body RX show will be coming up. We're just lining up some new guests and some new topics, and we're going to get that done here pretty quickly. Vince, thanks so much for coming on the air today, man.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know we're going to get flamed for some of the things we said, right?
Probably. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, we have thick skin. All right, we'll see everybody tomorrow with another great episode of Superhuman Radio. And next week, we're going to have Gary Taubes on. Gary Taubes doesn't like anything that Dr. Oz says, but he likes everything I say. So you want to tune in for that. We'll see you later.